Like a rubber.
Hello, Daddy. It's me, Pee-wee.
Where are you calling from?
Texas.
Where?
Honest. Listen, I'll prove it.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
I'm a rebel, Daddy.
It's Wednesday, January 7th, 2015, and this is the New Year's edition of Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted.
A little bit late on the New Year's, but enjoyed our vacation.
We certainly did.
I hope all of you enjoyed it as well. It's good to be back.
Yeah, and it's our first day here in Tower 1, Studio 19.
Tower 19 here. We vacated Palatial Studio 7, so we are in the brand new Studio 19.
But definitely want to say thank you to our landlord of 8 months over there at Studio 7.
Yeah, good shout out there to East Coast Countertops.
Absolutely.
For getting us the office space in our first studio. Now we've moved on.
Can't thank you enough.
Absolutely. So,
pretty good way to start the year, huh?
It's a great way to start the year. New studio, new attitude, and a lot of new playoff situations going on, maybe.
It looks like.
With the NCAA.
So let me ask you a quick question then. What was your favorite part of the last couple of weeks of just absolute sports mayhem? There was so much went on.
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, look what I have to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrilled with Big Ben eating a big bowl of dicks and getting bounced out in the first round of the playoffs. They didn't belong there anyway.
Right, yep.
Your Dallas Cowboys are actually headed to the second round. What does that feel like?
Well, that's why I picked Pee Wee Herman, the open, because the stars are at night are big and bright.
Tony Romo has finally gotten that big 800-pound gorilla off his back.
Yeah, and now it's funny.
Won a playoff game.
You know, that you say that, it's one of those things that I honestly don't care if they get past Green Bay or not. Like, this was an overachieve. We're playing with house money as Cowboys fans.
Well, yes, I gotta. You know, we're not gonna get too much into it just in the open, but everybody knows they overachieved. I mean, you even have the owner, hoping for a 6-win season.
Well, no. Remember, and we actually talked about it on the show, and I know we'll touch on it again. The owner of the Dallas Cowboys sent out NFC playoff tickets. Remember that? For season ticket holders. For free. No. Now, unless you've been listening from the beginning, you won't get that joke. So, at any rate,
you got those. And then, obviously, you have the new playoff system going into effect with the NCAA football. It's fantastic stuff. We'll touch on that, and you obviously you got the first round of the playoffs. You got the Hall of Fame. You got everything going on. So I can't pick just one. I can't.
You're missing a big one here.
Go ahead.
How about Jameis Winston and that organized crime ring out of Tallahassee taking a massive dump in the Rose Bowl?
Oh God. How about Andy Dalton going 0-4 in the playoffs?
Oh, my God. Four consecutive. Talk about taking a dump.
And what was it, 6 for Marvin Lewis, 0-6?
I know, but the lost Weasley brother doesn't have the magic to win in the playoffs.
Well, he also didn't have the receiver either.
You know, and it looks like the Seminole County Sheriff can't get them out of this one. It's, one of those.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like it's almost like Oregon forcibly removed the Knowles Collective pants and had their way with them, even though you could tell that FSU wanted no part of it.
It's like you're trying to draw an analogy here, but I just can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, you know what? Anyhow, but I think you know what blew my hair back this week, buddy.
And what was that? That blown call that handed Dallas the game?
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Yeah, I call it sketchy.
Yeah, you know what? So were the 5 other calls in that game.
Oh, yeah, but then the other calls back on the other side, too. So it don't matter. What I told you was the most important part of this was the fact that it was picked up. If it was a no call, I don't think we'd be talking about it so much.
There was Save it for the
three,
second segment,
There was
buddy.
Actually 3 calls that they missed on that single play.
Here's the thing.
They earned their win. I'm not going to take anything away from the Cowboys. Just sucks for Detroit is all.
Do you think that some of the bleed through from Ndamukong Suh coming back, not getting penalized?
I mean, you can call that karma, but I wouldn't call it by design.
Well,
But we'll get into that.
Make sure you hit us up on Twitter at EricandTedICS.
And our website, EricandTed.com.
Facebook.com/EricandTed.
And you know where to find us on iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
And we are going to have a great time today. It's time to start talking about some other sports. I do want to ask you, as we're coming right into it, Hall of Fame voting finished Tuesday.
And yes, it did.
And
we have one of our biggest collections of inductees since 1952, 55.
Actually, the initial class, Christy Matthews, Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, and I apologize for missing the last one. But the initial class of 1936 had five.
Right, and the last time they had four was in 1950-something.
All
right,
perfect. Yeah. And so, and now talk to me about the guys who got in. Eric, give me the list.
All right, well.
Give me the four guys that got in.
I'm going to give you the four guys, and I'm going to tell you their percentage, and I'm going to tell you the guys that are outside looking in that maybe, you know, better luck next year.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then we're going to talk about some of the idiot sports writers.
Because there's... Go ahead, because you know what? One of the things that comes up right away is you. What's the first thing you said? The number of votes guys get.
Yeah. Yeah, the percentage of the votes. Yep.
So talk to me about the best left-handed pitcher of a generation, the best right-handed pitcher of a generation. What did Pedro and Randy Johnson?
Okay, so Randy Johnson was the leading vote getter.
With how many?
534 votes.
Okay.
Very, very good.
So,
okay.
So they were, wait. So
out of 549.
Okay, so.
So he got 97.3%.
He didn't get unanimously voted on
it. That is correct, and it has never happened, and I think by design it never will, because sports writers have such big egos that they feel that they need to control this. And by keeping control of it, they, you know, by not voting for a particular person for either personal reasons or because, well, everybody else voted for him, so I don't want to be the guy that gives him 100%. Or, I want to vote for these other guys that have been on the ballot for 5-10 years because they need my support. Bottom line is, you have that vote in order to vote for the best 10 players on your ballot.
Period. End of story.
Period.
There's no negotiation here.
So you're telling me 15 guys,
mm-hmm.
15 guys out of 549 felt that Randy Johnson was not a top 10 of the people that were on that ballot.
In the steroid era.
In the steroid era, thank Wait, you. And I'll get into that now. I'll get into the steroid era in a little bit when we start talking about Pedro Martinez. So that boggles my mind.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, you got Pedro,
mm-hmm.
okay, who had 500 votes, which means 49 mm-hmm. people. Left him off their ballot.
The most dominant right-handed pitcher of a yep. generation.
The only pitcher to ever have the best fastball,
the best changeup,
and best curveball
mm-hmm.
in the game at the same time. That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
And everybody knows this.
Everybody knows it. Except for these 49
once
guys.
Again, and once again, at 5'9½", 186 pounds on a heavy day.
with boots on. And
exactly, with boots on.
Black jacket.
He pitched in the steroids.
Yes, Johnson was a specimen. Okay.
6'10".
He was physically overpowering. He was, his looks were overpowering. Crap. I don't think anybody was more feared.
Ask Johnny General, Crook.
Yeah, exactly.
Just ask Johnny Crook.
Like, literally, fear. We're not mm-hmm. talking hyperbole here.
No, no.
We're talking about afraid, big league hitters, afraid to step to the plate, and not ashamed to admit it.
My favorite comment from a batter, and I wish I could give credit to the person who said it, was, Randy Johnson is so big, he looks like he hands the ball to the catcher. Like that, and yeah. if you want to know anything about yeah. Randy Johnson, think about that ball. That 6'10", that ball is coming out of his hand at 7 feet mm-hmm. 4 inches
yep.
Over his head. Can you imagine that? And standing yep. on, and yep. standing,
and
on
his the, mug.
Oh, dude, those eyes staring at you above that glove.
Oh, my God. Oh, absolutely. I can't even imagine what it's like to get up to bat against this guy.
Co-MVP of a World Series.
Yep.
Now, in that World Series with the Diamondbacks, he goes out and pitches
game
three. Yep. Goes out and pitches game three, wins it. Goes out and pitches game six, wins it. Goes out in relief in game seven against the Yankees and records the win.
Yeah.
And he didn't 15, get unanimous. Yeah.
15 guys.
15 dudes. You know 15 what?
15 guys.
Every single one of those 15 guys
should have their vote taken away. But see, that's not more staggering to me than 49 people left Pedro Martinez off. 49.
You
know what?
And that's just, you said it perfectly. It's about the hubris, the arrogance.
Yeah.
Just the sheer arrogance of these guys who are writing.
Yep.
Now, who's next on the list? Because let's keep going through the list and make sure that we have everybody's names.
Now, you have a guy that some people say maybe doesn't belong to get in right now.
Okay, who's that?
John Smoltz.
Is Maddox now,
I'm a John. Maddox is in.
Then
now,
Smoltz,
we know Maddox. Maddox was, you know, most people would consider Maddox better than Smoltz.
But Smoltz had the saves, too.
I believe all three. I believe all three deserve to be in the Hall. Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox.
Yeah.
Do I believe that John Smoltz
right
is a...
And then right next to Bobby Cox.
Thank you. Yeah. Do I believe that John Smoltz is a first ballot Hall of Famer? I kind of don't.
Okay.
But second year, third year, and anything beyond, absolutely, he is a Hall of Famer.
Without a doubt, Jack Morris, then. But without the weight. Like Jack Morris, weight, what
absolutely.
Was it, 10 ballots or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And somebody pointed out, they were like, oh, yeah, but, you know, he finished his career as a closer. I'm like, exactly.
That's the point.
Exactly.
So did Dennis Eckersley, by the way.
Exactly.
Went through the first part of his career. He started for the Red Sox.
And then a dominant closer.
Yep, and a dominant
closer. You know what? So John Smoltz, he got 455. So 82.9%, he's in.
Our baseball writers, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Our baseball writers, living too much in the past, are they taking things like a DH? Or are they taking things like... a guy with saves and wins. Are they keeping him off because they're too buried in the Honus Wagners and in the...
Well, you would like to think that. You would like to think that because then at least it would come from an informed position. I believe it has nothing to do with that.
So you just think they're a bunch of douchebag
hallucinators? No, absolutely not. Because I guarantee you, not one of those 49 that didn't have Pedro Martinez on the ballot can look anybody in the eye and say he's not a Hall of Famer. Not a single one will... Or can.
So are they tacking a little bit more prestige on the quote unquote first ballot Hall of Famer? Like is
that? I think a lot of it is they know he's getting in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to use their vote somewhere else. That's not how it was designed to do.
Like Larry Walker?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Like, okay, I'm glad you said that. That's exactly the reason. And I wish I had the name of the guy, but it's not like you would know who he is anyway. Not you. Mm-hmm. The listeners.
Just the general public.
Yeah, the listeners wouldn't know who he is anyway. Specifically said. And it's actually supported by Pedro, but I'll get into that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
He said he did not vote for Pedro Martinez because Alan Trammell and Larry Walker needed his help.
Who cares?
Okay. Now,
No. If they I'm sorry.
Now, Pedro, I was listening to, I was listening to Pedro because I was very upset about that. And I was listening to Pedro on the way home tonight.
All right.
After getting inducted. And he was asked that. And so... What he said, he said, for whatever people's reasons, blah, 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 he can't control it. But the one thing he did support was the idea of some of the guys that have been on the ballot for a while getting the votes instead and spreading them around. I was actually kind of surprised. But the more I thought about it, from a player standpoint,
to him it
makes sense because he's a player.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Right. So he's thinking of them as his brothers.
Okay.
It's a family. So, you know what? Yeah, if you want to give your vote to a guy that's on his way out, you know, that's still trying to get in, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
He has a problem with all the others that would leave him off the ballot for personal reasons, which happens more than you would think.
See Jim Rice.
Yeah.
Who was off the ballot, and as he crossed into the... steroid era,
yep.
was still hitting a steroid,
yep.
and
it took PEDs. the competition committee or the the veterans committee.
Yeah, the veterans committee,
yep, to bring him, to in. Get him
and
in.
By the way, the interesting thing about him, he had a prescription for glasses.
Yep,
and didn't wear them.
That's correct.
And imagine the numbers that he could have put up, yep. had he just, you know,
yeah, has his vision not really broken down. And,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think, and that's kind of, you know what? And there's a little bit of a homer in me,
dude. We could do a whole show on Jim Rice.
Yeah, and but. Baseball writers hated the guy.
Hated him. And he was quite a prick. He was quite a prick back in the day to the media.
Yeah.
But, and he worked for many years to try to repair that relationship with the media.
I have a Jim Rice story.
A lot of years.
I have a Jim Rice story.
We love Jim Rice stories.
This is a personal story.
Oh, great. Even better.
Ninth grade, I go to school in a, I go to a parochial school up in Pawtucket, and so St. Raphael's Academy, and the school took place in several different buildings. It was, our home football field was the McCoy Stadium Annex, where the Pawtucket Red Sox play.
Oh, nice.
April comes along, birds are starting to chirp, and the Boston Red Sox are going to come play their annual game down in McCoy Stadium. And I am leaving class, and I'm a little late for, and I got to get all the way down the street to the next building, and I hit the crosswalk at a dead sprint, didn't look both ways, nothing. Car screeches on its brakes, slams on the horn, and a guy jumps out and says, "What the F are you doing, kid?"
And don't even turn around. Don't even tell me.
Bright red Corvette, Jim Rice, standing in the middle of the street, yelling at me for running in front of his car and on his way to Pawtucket to play a game. And I just stood there, gape-jawed, and went, "Holy shit, it's Jim Rice!" And he was like, "Get out of the road!" He yelled at me. I'm like,
"So even after you, you acknowledged who he was, he still wanted you off the road?"
Standing in the, well, you know what though? How many times have you had to slam your brakes in traffic and going, "Suck my
son
of a," and swat? And if the person even sheepishly waves the hand like, "My bad," you're still like, "Oh, it is your bad," but you still
whatever.
So this guy, his heart was probably pounding, you know, and he slams on
because he almost just killed a high school kid.
And so yes, that's my very brief.
He didn't know he was an asshole, a high school kid, but. Who could?
Neither.
By then.
Became an asshole adult.
That's a good Jim Rice story. I like that.
That's my Jim Rice anecdote.
All right. So that's where we're at.
All right.
So John Smoltz gets in first ballot. No, I have no problem with it.
Did Smoltz get in?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So
he's
Smoltz
in.
Makes it in. So off the top, the first three guys you mentioned.
Pitchers, by the way, first time that's happened.
Yep, it is. That's what I wanted to make sure you mention that.
Now the fourth guy. Somebody we've been pulling for a little bit.
Talk to me, Goose.
Craig Biggio.
Yeah.
Held in the highest regard by his peers, pitchers and hitters alike, all-around player,
yep.
Great gamer,
yep.
And he's finally in. He actually made a pretty big jump with almost 83%. So that's over 8%, over 8%.
So seven. By the way, just so you know, 75% of the votes get you in.
So
that's what the BBWA.
Even if you got 74.9, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. You
try next year.
Yeah, you should have lobbied one of the jerk-offs that didn't vote for Pedro.
Now, Mike Piazza got left off.
Rightfully so,
yep.
I think.
Yep, but he's close. Next year, he'll be in.
All right.
He gained more than 10 percentage points.
Okay.
This year, he'll gain the rest next year.
He's
at 70%.
So, let's talk about for a minute. All right, well finish the
names.
I'm
not done.
Finish the names.
Next guy who...
Well, that's the
I'm
fourth.
Kind of...
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We have our four
yeah,
guys.
Biggio is at the end. Right. Piazza's not. So, I'm a little up in the air on this guy. I was a fan. I don't think he ever tested positive.
Rock Reigns?
No, he doesn't belong.
Okay.
Jeff Bagwell.
I think Bagwell
Now, the
was...
man was always large. He was always oddly large in different places.
Came
so I can't say... Yep.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all know
Trust
this.
Me.
Yeah.
We would, by the way, as kids, we would watch Craig Biggio play... And Bagwell.
Bagwell.
We would watch Jeff
together.
Bagwell play. Yeah, exactly. We would watch Bagwell and go, "Why can't we get guys like that?"
Yeah. With a shit-eating grin.
Yeah.
He never tested positive.
Uh-huh.
He's denied it.
Yep.
He didn't pull a Barry Bonds where he was thin and lean for most of his career and then all of a sudden ballooned up. He was always oddly big.
Particularly for an infielder.
I don't know, man.
No.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. But this clearly, the way I feel about it is clearly the way a lot of other people feel about it because he's sitting there with 56%.
Okay, so here's where...
I'm not done.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Carry on.
Then who somebody I believe does not belong in the hall and he keeps being in the discussion, and that's Tim Raines.
Yeah, Rock
Fine Raines. Player. Fine player.
Good players don't make
it. Thank you. Good players don't make it to the Hall of Fame. And then we got our guy, which is very confusing to me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very confusing with 39%. Only 39%.
Talk to me.
Curt Schilling.
Deserves to be in.
I don't get it, man.
In a minute. Now, what...
I don't get it. What is it? That three World Series appearances? Two World Series victories? Or was it three World Series?
No, three wins.
Yeah, because he won with Philly.
D-backs against the Yankees, one with us, and one with us again, right?
No. Was he with us in 07?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that whole stretch kind of...
All right, hold on.
As far as years went, I wasn't sure how long he was with us. I know we had Beckett Lowell. Was he a part of that rotation?
He was in 07.
He must have been. He must have been, right? Yeah. I mean, we signed him for 04.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's funny. He, let's see, Schilling paid for the Phillies, was traded to the Diamondbacks in 01.
Yeah, he went to the World Series with the Phillies.
2004 and 2007, he won
the World Series. Okay, all right. So he's got three World Series rings. He was a huge, huge integral part of two of them.
Okay.
We can safely say that he was a huge, huge part of the Diamondbacks World Series victory as well as the Red Sox.
Well, he was the co-MVP of the Diamondbacks World Series.
Yes, of course, with Randy Johnson.
Yep.
Okay. And now this guy's sitting there at 215 votes, man. Now, can someone explain that to me?
All right. So there's a couple of things about Curt Schilling. First of all, he should be in based on his talent, ability.
Stats.
Yeah. Stats to a degree. To a degree. Because, you know, there's...
They're overall statistics. Oh, okay. You know what I mean?
So it's overall fine. I think that there's a lot of...
What, backlash?
Personal baggage, backlash and stuff that kind of... That kind
of
creeps.
Well, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Listen, so did Ty Cobb.
Yeah, but they it seems like the sports writers weren't as vindictive back then. I don't know what it is, because if you're going based on personality, and Ty Cobb gets brought up a lot, he's like the pinata of examples when it comes to behavior.
Jerks. Yeah,
yeah. You know, about people being in the Hall of Fame if they're. Not steroid users, but, you know, not good people. You know, they beat their wife. They did this. They did that. They should be kept out of the hall.
Pete Rose is
really?
In the hall.
You know what I mean? You had Ty Cobb, one of the worst guys on the planet.
Okay, well, all right. So where does Schilling come in ahead of the four guys that made it in?
I'd put him up there with John Smoltz, man.
Yeah.
I'm crazy, but I would definitely put him in the league of John Smoltz. And if John Smoltz can make it on his first ballot...
See,
we're sitting here, what, 3 years later, and Schilling's still not in? Even close, by the way, either.
One of the things about Schilling, too, is if Hart got you in, Schilling's in the
Hall. Okay, but then I look at this, I'd be like, okay, maybe he's not in yet. Okay, maybe it's going to take some time. Dude, he's only got 9 more votes than Roger Clemens.
Yes.
Mr. Steroids. Mr.
The poster boy for that era.
And the poster boy of who's not getting in. Him and Barry Bonds are supposedly the poster boys of who's not getting in. Barry Bonds is sitting there at 202. You got Curt Schilling, who was probably the most vocal against steroid use and juicing and the whole thing, and asterisk this and out of baseball that and records it, everything. And yet he's only a few votes away from the two biggest steroid abusers of the era. Tell me how that makes sense.
It doesn't. And so,
if you're a sports writer and you're listening to this, I know we got a couple, why don't you hit us up and you explain to me your vote?
Yeah, and tell us why.
Yeah, please.
Now, there's one last thing I want to touch on before we clear into football is the steroid era. And
right, we were going to talk about that.
Well,
doesn't that make all the stats and numbers and what people like Schilling and Pedro and Smoltz and Johnson did?
Yeah, we brought up Jim Rice already.
Right, so these pitchers did this against the people that were juicing.
That's why Pedro deserves unanimous.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, you are turning around and preaching to the choir. My thing about the steroid guys, and I kind of want to leave you on this thought. They won all the Silver Slugger awards. They broke...
Well, not all of them. Petey won some.
They broke all of the records. They took down the home runs in a season, the lifetime home runs.
They
took down all of those records, right? By selling their soul. And the one thing that we can take away from them is the Hall of Fame. And with that, Eric and I are going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at EricandTedICS.
And our website, EricandTed.com.
Facebook.com/EricandTed.
iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Just a small town.
That's right, and we're back here on Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted. All right, so Eric, talk to me a little bit about football. What we got coming up?
Football. We're still playing football?
We are.
All right, listen.
Yes.
Okay. So.
How'd that Dolphins team end up?
Well, I don't know
what you're talking about. How's
their schedule? Oh, what do you mean, 8-8? Eight and eight?
Oh, God, I know, isn't it?
You mean 8-8?
Yeah.
Let's rewind back to, like, episode 4 when you asked me.
How they
said 8-8.
Well,
they want to do this. Either actually, lose everything else. Either lose all the games.
After they...
I'll finish 8-8.
After they had beaten the Patriots, you were like, oh, they're a playoff team.
Well, they are a play... Well,
no,
they're not a playoff team. They're not a playoff team. Could have been a playoff team.
You know what would have been nice if maybe the Lost Weasley didn't get into the playoffs, but Tannehill did? Like, wouldn't you rat? Like, if you know, like, a team's just going to suck in the playoffs, and we all pretty much know that Cincinnati's going to suck in the playoffs, just let Miami in.
They had a chance. Well, they actually didn't.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
They got Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. We're going to lose the playoffs, as you see.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
And it's a shame. You know, I kind of feel for the Bungles fans. Pete out there.
I don't.
Pete.
I don't.
You hear me?
No, they.
The
you
Dolphins
know what?
Fans being a little bit tougher. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, you have a heartier stock.
Heartier. All right. So this is a brand new year.
It is,
and in the NCAA, they decided to change everything and do playoffs. Finally. Finally.
Shocking.
Okay.
Yes.
I've been screaming for it since I was in middle school when I couldn't figure out how the hell that shit worked. I'm like, why don't they just do playoffs?
Playoffs?
Playoffs? So, and it was a tremendous success.
So far, so good.
I got to tell you, it's a tremendous... You look at the two games, the two marquee games in this little playoff bracket. You got Alabama, ranked number one overall, traveling to Ohio State.
Well, didn't travel, but they were in Louisiana.
Yeah. And then you had Oregon and Florida State going head-to-head. Two great matchups. And what happened out of that was Oregon finally got to show that, yes, we can beat these other teams.
Well,
and then Florida finally showed what we all knew, is that they aren't a number one caliber team.
Florida State, yeah. And now, and the thing is, too, number one, Florida State, fine, 26-0 going into that game. Jameis Winston's career, he's 26-0, 26-1 now. And I think you reap what you sow. Went into that game with a certain attitude, certain kind of chip on his shoulder. Like, the way that Florida State went into that game...
was that it was just a formality.
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty much what it felt like.
I'm sure they didn't take them that lightly, but it's a sense of entitlement, and that's the mindset that teams like Florida State, Alabama have had with the system. The way it works is... You know what? At the end of the day, these guys are going to be like, nah, I think they're the best team. Well, they lost a game. This game, team's undefeated. That's okay.
Stay with me for a second on this one, because you know that series of Football Life on the NFL Network?
Football Life is
showing the 2006 National Championship game that took place at the Rose Bowl. It was USC with Matt Leinart versus Texas, Vince Young. And as we know, Texas ended up winning that game, and it was a real good one. Texas scored on basically the last drive of the game. But here's the thing about that, the reason why I bring that up. First of all, it's a great episode. They have Leinart and Vince Young together inside the Rose Bowl
and
for their interviews.
And neither one of them are playing.
No, and that's actually something that Lendell White says in the interview segment. He says, to think that after that game, within 10 years, that those guys would be out of football was unthinkable at the time.
Yep.
But the reason why I bring that up is, no matter what happened during that game, and they break it down really, really well, you saw and for as much crap as I give Vince Young and Pete Carroll and Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, each one of those teams showed the most enormous amount of character. That you going down by X number of points and, you know, grinding your way back. What Florida State showed is that they have zero character.
Oh,
if
absolutely.
They can't hang 50 on a team and blow them out, they have no chance.
Not only hanging 50, but they got hung.
Yeah.
For 59.
59. A Rose Bowl record. The point differential was a Rose Bowl record, and the points scored were a Rose Bowl record.
Okay. Oregon went into the half
against Florida State, only up by 5 points. Yep. Okay, so it was still a game at mm-hmm. that point.
Oh yeah, yeah. And by the way, Florida had the momentum going into that.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Florida had momentum.
So
Florida State. I'm sorry.
Oregon comes into the third quarter and blows the roof off.
Mm-hmm.
Totally takes them to town. Scores 27.
Yep.
27 in that quarter.
To Florida State?
7.
Thank you.
They punched them in the face and they never recovered. They scored 0 points in the fourth quarter. They rolled over for Oregon.
Everybody had talked about even going into that and talking about all throughout the season. One of the things about Oregon's offense, people have a tendency to call it gimmicky because they won one play every 14 seconds.
Right. They're an exciting offensive. They've been an exciting offense for at least the last 5 years.
It's your Kelly era.
And people think that that's all they are, which is why they've never gotten a number one overall and played for a national championship.
And one of the things about that, too, is that people have constantly called Oregon soft.
Yep.
They're soft. They're soft. They're
soft. They have to put up 50, 60 points, and it's up against subpar teams. Really? Subpar teams?
Hmm.
They put up 59 against the Florida State.
Here's the most telling moment of this for me for Florida State. Jameis Winston came over to the sidelines.
Yeah.
And he was all animated. He was flipping out. Right in his face and said, if you don't calm the F down, I'm going to put you on the bench.
Yep.
And now
you should have done that anyway.
Yeah. But this kid is in a national championship game, totally lost it. He had the collegiate equivalent of the butt fumble in the fourth quarter of that game. 5 turnovers by Florida State.
Yep.
And everything that you saw about Jameis Winston was on display.
Yes.
So if you were out there scouting, or if you're sitting there going, all right, the Jets have the 10th overall pick, and they might take him, or Tennessee has the second pick.
What you saw wasn't an anomaly. You saw exactly what you needed to see. And you saw what you're going to get.
And
if anybody drafts him in the first round or in the beginning or middle of the second,
yep. And it's one of those things that now Jacksonville is not far away from Tallahassee, and Jacksonville has the second overall pick.
Then they should know above anybody that he's not the one to go with.
He goes to Jacksonville, and it's going to be a mistake. It will be a mistake.
They can't be that dumb. They got to have smarter people.
Smarter people.
Yeah.
Look at their team.
Huh. Look they at got their, Bortles.
They, I know who I like.
That was a good pick. What? You're already going to throw him off?
No, I'm not going to. But I can certainly see they are.
Well, I ain't gonna do nothing.
I wouldn't throw out Blake Bortles. That crop of quarterbacks that came out in the last few years,
really good.
I like a lot. Yeah. Even Ryan last Tannehill and Blake absolutely. Bortles, and you know the list goes on.
Had a couple of busts, but
my favorite though,
Derek Carr,
who's an overachiever for that awful team. Yeah. The future of the Oakland Raiders franchise is already there.
It's going to be Rex Ryan.
Surround him. That'd be great for them.
Either him or Shanahan.
Listen.
Them two are the only two that can fit in that organization and not only fit but thrive.
Buddy Ryan. Rex Ryan.
Buddy Cole.
Rob Ryan. Nobody beats Buddy Cole. Okay?
Nobody.
He'll hit a home run in softball while having a martini rounding the bases against the T-Rex.
You didn't beat me to it, yeah.
But, and who you don't know who Buddy Cole is, we're going to post a video of him on our website definitely this week. But the Ryans have this uncanny ability to take teams who need a Rex Ryan, who need a Buddy Ryan, and to put them in a great position. They won't win a Super Bowl. Rex Ryan won't win a Super Bowl. But you know what? That attitude, that us against the world kind of thing, what he brought
to the Jets, that's
what the Oakland Raiders need. Yep. They need, and you know what? He should take Bart Scott. You're the linebackers coach.
Sure.
He should take, he should take 6 or 7 of
his. I think he should take some retired Patriots and bring them over there.
But you know what? He coached.
Take Harrison.
The Super Bowl win that Brian Billick got in Baltimore was anchored by what?
Rex
Ryan's defense.
Where's he at now?
You know what? He had the best. There was a real funny Twitter conversation that went on.
About Brian Billick?
Brian Billick had said something, had made a prediction on NFL Network, and somebody went, great prediction from a coach who's no longer in the NFL. And he simply tweeted back a picture of his Super Bowl ring and went, you're right.
Yeah.
Sitting
on his millions in his nice home, I'm sure, with a very attractive wife and great kids.
I think Brian Billick being able to wake up at 8 a.m. on a Sunday and not have an ulcer, I think he's doing just fine.
I think he'll be all right.
That team was anchored by Rex Ryan's defense. Yeah. And if you took Rex Ryan and brought him there, or I would love to see Rex Ryan as a defensive coordinator
for
Shanahan's offense, or even if you took, if you got who was the former Steelers, Bill Cowher.
Yep.
I would love to see Bill
Cowher. But he's not coming out.
I know.
But him and Gruden, they're not going anywhere.
But see, that's the type of thing. Like, I remember our big thing here about the Raiders is the NFL is a better place when the Raiders are good.
Well, and they're also a better place when Detroit is relevant. And that's why it would have been good for the NFL if Detroit had won that game.
And, well, you know, and it was funny, too, because we talked about this. I talked about this with a couple of friends of mine who are big Eagles fans. When the Cowboys-Eagles met after Thanksgiving, and it was a big, big game.
What happened to the Eagles? They were a pretty good team.
They Mark Sanchez. They had to go to the Sanchez. But when the Cowboys and Eagles were playing for supremacy in the NFC East, the NFL was better off.
Of course, it always is.
That's the thing.
And you know what? They're better off when the AFC East is competitive, too. When it's not just the New England Patriots show.
Speaking of the AFC East, Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo ended up with a winning record and above
Their coach
Miami.
Still walked.
Yeah,
and their coach still walked.
Yeah,
and
there
I
had
could
to be
say,
something going on there, and it wasn't because of the team. It wasn't because of the players. It had to be with the people upstairs. Literally, think about this now.
Yep.
They put a clause in his contract. That says you have 3 days, 72 hours.
After the season's over for
after
your team.
After the season's over, and you can walk.
Yep.
So picture what that happened in the negotiation there, okay? Buffalo was so confident, pretty much saying, I know once you get in here...
You're going to love it.
You're going to love it. So I'm so confident of that I'm actually going to say that I'll give you 72 hours at the end of the season because I know you're not going to take it. I know you're not going to take it. You're going to love it here. We got a great organization. That's why they threw it in. Probably didn't even give it a second thought. More of a... That was a confidence. By putting that in there, it was showing him that the Bills have confidence in what they're doing and saying, yeah, no, I'm even going to throw this in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Big mistake.
Now, there's an interesting thing for me about this. Is that...
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, it was...
I'll give you a three-day window to just walk off. Not only walk out, but we still pay you.
Now, here's the thing about... And this is... By the way, the guy's name is Doug Marrone.
Good coach. Did a great
awesome
job
Awesome coach.
There. Yep.
Young guy. Here's a landing spot for him. All right, everybody...
San Francisco?
Nope. They got rid of Trestman
in Chicago. Yeah, the six openings, so...
And the perfect landing spot for a guy like this is Chicago, who have cut their teeth as the monsters of the Midway... They need that return to prominence. This is the guy. If he lands in Chicago, that NFC North.
How did we end up on the NFL?
That's really funny. You know what?
We didn't even wrap up the NCAA in the championship game next Monday.
You know what it
Holy
is?
Smoke.
We actually got into the NFL draft. That's what happened.
Oh, that's what it was. We talked about liner, and then all of a sudden, draft, quarterback, second round, and bang.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's
so
awful.
We'll go back to that in a second. And with these coaches, these openings, right? Shanahan going back, by the way, used to coach at Oakland.
Yep.
All right. Going back to Oakland, I don't see it.
I really see Rex Ryan in Oakland, man.
Oh, I do too. And I think it's a great fit.
Oh, absolutely.
Or Rex Ryan.
Make it fun to watch, at least.
Or Rex Ryan going to Chicago. There's another fit. It's that gritty.
I think he would get suffocated in Chicago.
Why?
I think they would put it to him.
He just outlasted the New York media.
He was tired, though.
Okay, fine. But he was tired of the New York media after 6 years, and he was in two straight AFC championship games.
If he goes to Oakland... And I don't want to say there's no pressure because there's always pressure in that job.
Sure.
Period.
Yeah.
Regardless of what team it is Oakland. But it's handing a blank chalkboard, man. No. Just
here's
here,
the,
man.
But
just
here's the problem.
It.
Give me the last seven coaches from Oakland. You can't. Because they last a year.
But this is Rex Ryan.
But that's the point. He's a guy who deserves an ownership
group. A 3 to 5 year contract.
No, a 7 year contract, this guy. Give him a 5 to 7. Like, but you can't let Rex Ryan go into some shamble team.
But I see Chicago as shambles. I see Chicago as dysfunctional.
See,
dysfunctional.
But what guy? Give me a guy for the opening in Chicago who can go in, smack the gavel, and say, we're going to do these things my way.
A young coach.
Okay, like
Buffalo Bills.
Marrone. Okay, that's a great fit for him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now,
he
goes
to
Chicago.
Shanahan in San Francisco.
Yep.
Rex Ryan in Oakland. and Maroney.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
Yeah, and I would love to see it.
That'd be three great spots with three good coaches.
Now switch back real quick to the NCAA, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the national championship game after we finish talking about the playoff games, because they were important enough, and we've spent some time talking about.
It was very entertaining. That's what I'm saying. This was a big success. The ratings were through the roof. The games were very entertaining. The Alabama Ohio State game, although I did fall asleep, was a very entertaining game. Ohio State squeaking it out by a touchdown, 42-35.
And that was a straight toe-to-toe. And one of the things Now, listen.
That was a punches game.
Here's one of the things about this, right? And ESPN has, and national media has fallaciated the SEC.
Yeah. So long. Yes, that was great.
And no SEC team is in there. No SEC
team. And everybody breathe a sigh of relief. Celebrate.
You don't have to hear about the SEC again.
It's a great day.
And that's the thing. Like, you had Auburn lose. You had Alabama lose. Yeah. Like, you had all of these teams that the SEC, this powerhouse. And now there's an interesting thing here about Urban Meyer.
Yep.
I think, as far as I'm concerned, came from Florida, had Tim Tebow, all of that stuff. I think that Urban Meyer has gone to the Big Ten and taken the SEC cookie cutter plan and implemented it there.
Could be.
And that's when you watch Ohio State, if they just had blank uniforms on, you would think you were watching an SEC team. And I'm not like the biggest college football guy in the world, but when it comes to being in New England, I can talk about it.
Absolutely.
We don't really talk about it much here.
No.
I can talk about college football. No. Urban Meyer, that guy is something special.
No, he is. The bottom line, at the end of that weekend, after those games happened, two of the most miserable SOBs were bounced out. And that's Nick Saban.
I know.
And Jameis Winston.
They're there now.
Jameis Winston.
Yep. Gone.
Gone. Yeah. I'm glad. I don't want to watch either of you two in the national championship game.
Yeah, now
and I said it beforehand. I've said it before the games. I was talking to a couple family members at across the states that, threw out a mass text. You know what I mean? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and go FSU. I was like, go FSU. That's right, Uncle Steve. I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
He says, go FSU.
Hey, Uncle Steve, let's take the S out of that.
Yeah. So,
that was good. Sorry, Uncle Steve.
So he sends that out. And I actually had to call. I didn't recognize the number. I had to call him. Who is this? I said, because I'm about to lambaste them. And it's, it was a mass text, so everybody in the family got it.
Yeah.
And I was, and she's like, that's your Uncle Steve. I was like, oh. I said, Happy New Year. I was like, but the term go FSU or go Florida State should never be uttered in public or private conversations
ever again.
Ever.
Yeah.
Period. And he goes through and I said, Jameis Winston is an embarrassment and a disgrace to the game, his team, and the alumni.
Virtually everything about that guy is detestable.
Yeah, aside from anything else with the team, that alone, they can't win. Mm-hmm. That's number one. I said number two, I did the whole Nick Saban thing.
Yeah.
And I said, he's a turncoat, he's a traitor, and he's got no character. So he's out too, and he's like, "Hey, we'll see how the games happen, and if you're right, I'll eat crow." I was like, "No, you'll eat duck, because that's who's gonna win." And that was a little clever, but
a little. Did someone die in here?
Just a little inside. But no, I mean, the outcome couldn't have happened better for college sports, college football fans. Yep. It was just it was the best possible scenario. So now you got Oregon up against Ohio State, and I got to tell you, Ted, I'm not sure Ohio State has a prayer.
Well, no. The one thing that Ohio State has going for them.
Is it prayer?
Well, yeah, more or less. And the prayer was answered in the form of Urban Meyer after the Jim Tressel debacle of guys trading stuff for tattoos. Wait,
Jim Tressel debacle? Oh, not the one in Chicago.
No, that's Tressman. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. And Tressman, by the way, came from the Toronto Argonauts, and he was a Grey Cup champion.
Of course.
So, because there's always a big influx of talent from Canadian football.
Canadian
football. So, but Urban Meyer being there, if there's a coach in college football, in FBS, that
could coach to a win is him. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, but now given that, I think that Mariota's too good. I think that the speed with the offense and their defense is a slug. Like, their defense is just a powerhouse.
Yep.
And you can't have a second-year sophomore as your quarterback at Ohio State and expect to win the national championship against the Ducks. But the first half of that football game looks a lot like the first half of the Florida State
Oregon game. So you're saying within a score, and then Oregon turns it on in the half?
Not to the tune of like a 59-point drubbing and five turnovers.
So you think Ohio State's got a better defense than Florida State?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
And I think if Florida State had played Ohio State, I think that they would have been... I think Florida State wins that game.
Yeah, so do I.
But I think it's a little bit closer. And by the way, the Florida State thing and the 59 points, and just to give them the due a little bit, those five turnovers, a lot of those happened. First of all, there was a freshman who fumbled twice. True freshman, 18, 19-year-old kid, fumbled twice. Those are two of the turnovers. Winston's trying to do too much. He fumbles the ball, gets returned for a touchdown. So those,
yeah, that was awesome.
There's three of the turnovers
He got RKO'd.
Yeah, and so with three of those turnovers right there, like when you're already behind by a couple of three scores and you're in the second half and you're trying to make things happen, that's when sort of like the ball starts rolling downhill and you're in some trouble. But that being said, this is Oregon's game to lose.
No,
it's Oregon's game to lose.
All right. So. I have them winning. I'm winning by at least two touchdowns. It will be entertaining, regardless. It'll be close up to a point, but then Oregon's gonna take over.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be your national champion. And good for them. You know, good for the organization because they've been dying for it. They've been screaming, look at me," for at least the last 5 years. Wondering why they're always on the outside looking in for the national championship. They go to playoff, bam.
That
look
ends
what
now.
Happens.
And that ends now.
Yep.
And so, and with that, Eric and I are going to take a quick break. We're going to
come back with the NFL. We're going to talk about last week's game, talk about this week's coming up. Get your predictions.
Can't wait for it. Now, don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
Hit us up on iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Thanks very much, Gary Hoey. I really appreciate it. That's Hocus Pocus, of course.
Hocus Pocus.
And welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted, and we got to talk about the NFL playoffs, man.
Yes, let's wrap it up with that. It was a good weekend of football. It just happened.
How'd you feel about Ben Roethlisberger getting torched and knocked out of the
playoffs? Oh,
did he? Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed it. No, I didn't. It was fantastic. Baltimore, although is the... Really, I kind of almost hate them more. I'm really torn as far as which team I actually hate more.
Okay.
So I was a loser regardless in this game.
In this game,
sir. So I was kind of torn. At one point I was kind of going for Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Because I hate Baltimore so much.
Yep.
But then once Baltimore started to manhandle them, it didn't matter anymore. So, now. Baltimore going to New England. They've beaten them 2 out of 3 times in Gillette in the playoffs.
Not a big deal for me. I'm glad you brought that up first because this is something we absolutely need to get out there.
Gives the teams a little confidence, you know what I mean?
No, it doesn't.
We can beat them. We can do it. Yada bada buda.
Is Ed Reed coming out of retirement this week?
Is Ed Reed walking through that door?
Is Ray Lewis walking
through that door? It's a great point.
No.
That's a great
point. And then
point.
Not.
No.
And you know what? You have... What is Baltimore's chief offensive weapon?
That's the best quarterback in the NFL in Tony Flacco.
Now, if you're just joining the Ice Cream Social, of course we know it's Joe Flacco, but it's funnier to call him somebody else's name.
Yes.
Tony Flacco, who is an elite quarterback.
The best.
Now,
just look at his pay stub.
Well, of course. Now, but there's the big issue is the Patriots' weakness is what? Their offensive line. And the strength of Baltimore is their pass rush.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. They're pass rush.
Yeah, they got Suggs over there.
They got Suggs, Haloti Ngata.
Ngata.
Haloti Ngata. But you have good talent over there, that's fine. That secondary is not capable of stopping Tom Brady.
No, definitely not. No, I think the Patriots are going to hang up 30-plus points on them, probably give up 17. It'll actually probably be the reverse of what the Pittsburgh game is.
Dark horse player of the game for me, Tim Wright.
I think it's going to be LaFell. I think LaFell's going to have a big game.
You think so? Yeah. Like, and I can get...
And, of course, Gronk is going to be Gronk.
Yeah, he is. And see, this is the kind of thing... This is why, by the way, specifically, this is why I bring him up. When you're trying to shut down Rob Gronkowski...
Yeah.
That's going to leave that second tight end spot open. I like your idea about LaFell. But being on the outside with a ferocious pass rush, your tendency as a quarterback is to look to the inside, even if it's your second read or third read.
No, absolutely. And if one thing we know about Tom Brady is he's going to throw it to whoever's open.
Yeah, no matter
what.
That's where
he made his bread and butter. Is where he won his Super Bowl championships, is it doesn't matter who's out there. If they're out there, they're good enough to be out there, and I'm going to throw to them.
I need to ask you, though, this is an important question, okay? What quarterback in the playoffs right now has thrown 166 consecutive postseason passes without an interception? Any ideas?
I'm sure I can figure it out. Okay.
So the guys that are left are Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
I would say... I mean, in Tom Brady, I know he's thrown an interception. I believe he threw one last year.
Okay.
Now,
can I give you the answer? Okay. All right. Then let me throw you another statistic. Then what in postseason? Okay, since 2009, we'll say, who has the most games with a 95+ passer rating? And I'll give, and the number is eight. Eight games in the postseason with a 95+ passer rating. The next guy on the list has a 5.
Joe Flacco.
Both of the answers to that are Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco might not be the best quarterback in the NFL, although his paycheck says differently. Joe Flacco is a pedestrian quarterback.
He doesn't make many mistakes in the playoffs.
He not only doesn't make many mistakes, he excels in the playoffs. And I'm going to read something for you here real quick from the Washington Post. He has a 10-4 career postseason record, including a win and an MVP award in the Super Bowl. The Ravens are 7-2 in playoff games where he started since 2010. Flacco has 20 touchdowns to 3 interceptions during that time. That ability to manage and protect the ball has made Baltimore incredibly difficult to beat. And after this past Sunday's win, Flacco has thrown 166 consecutive postseason passes without an interception, which is 4th longest streak in NFL history. He's also become, listen to this one.
That ends Saturday, by the way.
Just the 3rd quarterback in NFL history to post a rating of 100 or more in 5 consecutive postseason games.
Good for him.
Joe Flacco, statistically speaking, is the best postseason quarterback that's left in the playoffs.
Not affected. I'm not affected by that.
Not affected by what in what way?
I'm not impressed.
This is, again, your anti-Joe Flacco bias coming out.
And it's listen, just, what does that amount to?
It's amounted to...
One Super Bowl.
He's won 2. Joe Flacco's won 2 Super Bowls. Okay.
What was that? Was that his first year when they won it with in 2001? 2001?
No, my mistake.
There's no way.
I'm sorry. He won 1 Super Bowl. Right. My mistake. Tony Banks won the other one. No, I know. It was actually Dilfer.
Dilfer
was the quarterback. But Tony Banks started that season. But
what a cake eater.
Okay, so he won a Super Bowl, and he was an MVP of that game.
Okay.
So, all right.
So for the best postseason quarterback statistically, only having 1 Super Bowl doesn't really amount to a whole hill of beans.
Hardest place to play in the entire AFC? Gillette Stadium?
Is it?
Yep. In the AFC? It's Gillette Stadium. He's come in.
That's good. But like you said,
Is Ed Reed going to walk through that door? Is Ray Lewis going to walk through that door?
No, but you know what? Terrell Suggs is there. But bottom line for me, you're right. And I'm going to, and I'm, instead of playing devil's advocate here as far as the Ravens go this week, this is the 2014 Ravens versus the 2014 New England
Exactly.
Patriots. And by the way, that was, I'm paraphrasing a line directly from Tom Brady earlier in the week in an interview.
Okay.
All right. So that's what he said. It's,
yeah. You know, oh, because they were asking. Yeah. That's
they were right, asking yeah. him about
They asked about the two losses.
Correct.
And those don't mean a thing. Right now. They don't mean a thing.
Now,
I get what you're saying.
So
he's got some great postseason stats. He's proven to be a very consistent, very solid, very dependable postseason quarterback and doesn't make mistakes. That's great. He's going to make his first mistake on Saturday.
First words he said in his post-game press conference after the win against the Steelers was, we made too many mistakes. We need to minimize those going forward. That's the type of guy, all right? And again, I know I had a Jim Rice anecdote. I have a little anecdote about Joe Flacco, although he never hit me, came near hit me with his car. I ended up having the opportunity to sit down with one of his coaches from Delaware at a social event. And spent some time talking to
him. Not a the social event, but a...
No, wait, the only social... The social event means Eric and I are there, of course. But only I was there, so it was just semi-social. Yes, with a lowercase s.
A semi-social.
Yeah, with a lowercase s, it was a social event. But I ended up hanging out with the offensive line coach at Delaware. This offensive line had protected Joe Flacco throughout his college career. And I said, you know, what's he like? You know, it's a good question. What's Flacco like? And by the way, I didn't lead with that. I don't really care. But it was just more filler of the conversation. He said, you know what he's like? He's a cheeseburger with just ketchup. And I looked okay. a little.
No, know, I get it.
And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, we would win massive games. And he would be a cheeseburger with just ketchup. And we would lose games. And he would be a cheeseburger with just ketchup. And at the end of the week, and he would go to his meal after the post game, he would get a cheeseburger with ketchup. Basically, his point was, the guy's unflappable.
Yeah, he's win or lose, he did his job.
Yeah, and he's steady, and he's a rock on a football team. He is a guy that a team can look at, the John Candy story.
See, I want magic.
Trent Dilfer has won a Super Bowl. Mark Rippon has won a Super Bowl. Doug Williams has won a Super Bowl.
Tony Flacco has won a Super
Tony
Bowl.
Tony Flacco has won a Super Bowl. These are guys who you don't need Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, even Russell Wilson.
Right.
That you don't need.
Well, when you got a defense like that, you don't.
Correct. Yes, their defense is not quite what they were. And I can see Tom Brady throwing 350 yards, four touchdowns in this game.
Absolutely.
And running away with it. That's
because their linebackers cannot cover, and their linebackers are going to have to cover.
Now, we have some other games coming up this weekend.
So, who do you got?
The second game on Saturday, the New England-Baltimore game, and we have Baltimore winning that thing. I mean, Baltimore losing that thing by double digits.
Right, okay, good.
Just and the Patriots winning that one is at 4:35 on Sunday.
Yep.
Now, at 8:15 Sunday night, Carolina, the overachievers out of the NFC West, going in and playing against Seattle.
Yeah.
This is a close game for a quarter and a half. They just, I don't
absolutely think maybe even to exactly sure, maybe half. Even to halftime.
Sure,
you know, and we're talking 13-6.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
But the Seattle's going to turn it on in the second half, like they always do. Marshawn Lynch gets better by the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact.
So does Luke Kuechly.
Yep.
But and this is just kind of the only thing I say about this game is if at the end of this game, if Carolina wins by some stroke of playoff magic,
that would
as
be
you
insane,
said, right? If they won, the player of the game, the MVP of that game, is Luke Kuechly.
It could be
because he can cover, he can tackle, he can blitz.
Could
he
be, is, but I think it's going to take an exceptional performance by Cam Newton in order for them to do that.
I couldn't so agree more.
So but he would probably get the nod.
And
if that
I think
happens.
Cam Newton has the ability. To all right, so here's statistically, I'm going to give you a day for Cam Newton. He's got 80 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown, 220 yards passing and a touchdown. Is that enough to beat Seattle? No.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Absolutely not.
Is an interception, two sacks, a forced fumble, and nine solo tackles enough to beat Russell Wilson? I think it is.
I don't know.
And see, but that's the thing. I don't think that this isn't one where beast mode's not going to take over like it did against against.
Well, see, I disagree.
Arizona. It won't be like it was.
I believe that Marshawn Lynch is going to take over the second half of that game. I think the first half they're going to try to do some things. They're going to pass the ball a decent amount. They're going to set the tone with the run, obviously. But I believe in the second half it's going to be a big dose of Marshawn. They're going to be like, that dude took your Skittles. Go.
All right. And you know, and that's the thing. Like, it's going to have to be somebody on their offense taking over. I think that the likelihood that somebody on their offense takes over, I think this is one of those games, like the Seattle-Washington game from earlier this season, real close until like the last 8 minutes. And then for some reason, they finally let Russell Wilson take the reins.
Yep.
And what did he do?
Yep.
He just shut down Washington.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's kind of what I'm looking
for. I mean, it's an it's an intriguing matchup, but I think we're looking for ways that it can be competitive.
And sure, and I'm okay with that when it comes to this game, because let's talk about the Sunday games. So
we got Seattle winning probably again by double digits.
Again by double digits. This might be the boring day of the weekend, because, boy, coming into that Sunday
is insane.
The first game, 1:05, the Dallas Cowboys go to Lambeau for the first time since the Ice Bowl.
And I would have liked to push back the times on Sunday for these games.
I would too, man.
You know, normally I'm a big supporter of the earlier games.
The 1 and the 4.
But yeah. I tell you, man, these matchups scream matinee. I mean, late night.
Prime time. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could see Denver and Indy playing at 4 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and Green Bay and Dallas playing at night, man. These two matchups are fantastic. Dallas traveling to Green Bay. I told you this a few weeks ago, that Dallas is the team that can beat Green Bay in Green Bay. I'm not saying they will, but they can.
Okay, then question for you. How do the Dallas Cowboys win this game?
You need another performance from Tony Romo that like you got last week. No interceptions, a couple of touchdowns.
280 yards.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray needs to be a little bit more active. I know they got away from the run. It's inexplicable. I don't understand it.
They were playing against the best run defense in the NFL.
Okay. All right. Fine. I'm getting that. All right.
Yeah. And but, by the way, they tried.
Green Bay is not there in defense.
In the first half, they tried to run.
Yes,
they did. And it just wasn't effective.
Yeah. Green Bay obviously doesn't have the defense that that they have. I just, a lot of things are going to have to go right. Of course it is. Green Bay is a tough place to win. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They have the talent. Again, I think their defense could definitely use some work. But Romo's got to go out there and be flawless. He, you know, his receivers have to not drop passes.
Mm-hmm.
His defense needs to not fumble after recovering fumbles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all the stuff they got away with last week.
Yeah.
Cannot happen in Green Bay.
Yeah.
If it does, it's not going to be close.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
It's not going to be close, like 42-20. It's just going to be a laugh-off. But I don't know, man. I'm thinking this is going to be a very, very competitive game. I think Green Bay wins it in the end, but I think this is going to be a very exciting game.
I actually think that this might be the one game of the weekend that comes down to the final possession. Because neither one of these defenses geared towards stopping the strengths of the other team.
Yeah, to get in that. Yeah. Absolutely. And getting that stop when you need the stop. It sure as hell ain't Green Bay. Dallas. Maybe,
okay. Then and maybe. One other thing that I want, and I like Aaron Rodgers a lot.
Sure.
Okay.
I
like him as a quarterback. I'd want him on my team. I like him as a guy in the community. Like everything about Aaron Rodgers.
Except in those double check commercials.
No, even that. You know what? Fine.
Oh, the Hans and Franz is just awful.
The Hans and Franz thing. I actually, if any of them, I like that one. But any. By the way, any reason to see Kevin Nealon and Dana Carvey back Kevin in the Nealon limelight fan. Is fine with me.
Yeah.
But I digress. The one thing that I want people to pay attention to.
Yes.
Is how bad Clay Matthews really is. I'm not going to go off on it.
We know how bad he is.
And this is why I'm saying to anybody listening to this.
Pay attention.
During this game. And by the way, you won't see him on third down.
See, you took the words out of my mouth. I was like, because if you're looking for him on the big play on third down, who's making the stop?
He's
you're not going to see him.
That's why
he's not there, and that's why they probably made the stop.
Yeah, that's why A.J. Hawk is in.
Thank
who's
you.
The real threat at Absolutely. Linebacker on that team. And Julius Peppers Absolutely. Playing off the end.
Yep.
But watch how easy it is for the Dallas Cowboys offensive line to dominate that guy.
And let alone when he has to drop back into cover.
He can't. And that's going to be the big liability.
Huge game.
I actually want to.
Witten's going to have a good game. I'll tell you that right now.
One of the stats I want to look at, regardless of the outcome of this game at the end of the week, is I want to make sure that we look at total number of offensive plays for the Dallas Cowboys, total number of defensive snaps that Clay Matthews was on the field.
Okay.
Because it's a smart thing for the entire coaching staff of Green Bay to limit him to first down.
Well, they have to hide him.
They have to hide him because he's going to be a liability in coverage, and he's not going to get past Smoke Tyron and Smith.
They can't expose him.
He's not going to get past that.
If Clay Matthews gets exposed, there's going to be some bad things happening there.
Exactly. And so I think last possession of the game, we're looking at a 6-point.
Cowboys can do it, man. Yeah, I'm telling you.
They can,
I don't think they win the close one, but I can tell you they can win a 30-17.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. People might think it's, a close one and either one could win or it's going to be Green Bay all the way. I'm telling you, there's a scenario there that people aren't thinking about, and that's not even really close. Cowboys coming out sharp, coming out to an early lead, running the ball down their throat, and walking away with it 30-17.
Keeping Aaron Rodgers and that offense off the field is the key to success.
Absolutely.
And so
I'm looking forward to that
120-yard performance.
Yeah. And I don't have a horse in the race, so it makes it even more enjoyable to watch. I'm pulling for them for you, as you do when you watch the Dolphins.
Of course.
But at the end of the day, it's not going to piss me off if they win. Yeah. I don't know, man.
I got Green Bay winning.
I have Green Bay winning, too, but I don't know, man.
With an asterisk?
Yeah, I got this gut feeling that if they come out right off the gate and put a couple of touchdowns up, which obviously we know they're capable of doing,
yep,
I think that's it. I don't think Green Bay comes back if Cowboys come out to a lead.
And here's the direction I'm going in with the final game of the weekend, Indianapolis going to Denver. And I'm telling you now, if Indianapolis can get out of the gate, the thing that happened to them, look at what they did against the Cowboys. It was awful. The Cowboys scored first, and then they tried that fake punt inside their own 10, and then they ended up having two touchdowns behind. Then all of a sudden,
this is the toughest game to pick.
It is.
And for one reason for me. Now, if you take it at face value and what the teams are, and they are who we thought they were type deal.
Sure, sure.
Denver wins this. 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
I don't think Indianapolis has a whole lot of momentum going into this game. I've seen them sharper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've seen them much sharper than what they've been these last few games.
Yep.
But it's not business as usual for the Denver Broncos.
It's not, man.
What we have seen, and go ahead and take a second and think about this, people.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from Peyton Manning in the last 6 games?
You have seen ducks.
Yeah.
You've seen
floating. There's something going on there. There is something going on there, and it's not a given, people, that he's going to come in and just be the Peyton Manning that was tearing it up, the first half, first two-thirds of the year, and last year.
Mm-hmm.
Something is going on there. He is just not all of a sudden going to be throwing 80-yard passes for touchdowns to Demaryius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Something's up, and if Indianapolis can exploit that, they have a shot. This is not business as usual in Denver.
No, it's not. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that I'm sitting here looking up right now is the 5-day forecast for Denver.
What's the weather like out there, buddy?
All right. So on Sunday, in the evening,
4:40.
The evening temperature for that game is going to be 21 degrees. That's the low temperature of that day. The high temperature is going to be 41, but we know that thing's taking place after sundown.
Yep.
So it's going to get progressively colder as the game starts.
Obviously the most important part of the game, which is going to be the second half.
Correct.
Yeah, It's going to be a nightmare scenario
for Peyton Manning.
Yep.
It's cold. Ball's going
to be a little bit heavier.
Yep. And that's the problem. One of the things that we're looking at right now, where it's not going to, we're talking about a light wind, all that other stuff. This is a guy who had neck surgery, all that other stuff. He's going to be out there after halftime coming out. It's going to be 31 degrees.
Yep.
29 degrees.
Yep, absolutely.
This is not a good environment for this guy.
Now, we need to see, in order for Denver to walk away with this win, we need to see the Denver Broncos we saw 7 weeks ago. 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago.
And we're not going to see that.
Now, they were still good enough to win games. CJ Anderson
was
running the ball good.
And at the end of the day, I think they're good enough to win this game.
And it very well could be. Indianapolis is not what they were. There's something a little off
something
about
Indy. Yeah.
I'm not like it is in Denver, where like, hey, something's wrong. Can't put my finger on
it. Chuck Pagano.
They just haven't. I don't think they've ascended.
Andrew Luck.
They haven't taken the next step. It seems like they're just kind of hovering there at really good when you thought they were going to take that next step up.
One of the things that I think
more beatable. I don't know.
No, they are. And I think one of the things that's gone on there is I think that they've put a little bit too much stock right now in Andrew Luck. Okay. Well, by the way, he's basically my favorite quarterback in the NFL. It's
fantastic, people. Like, this is going to be enjoyable to watch.
I can't wait to see
the next decade. Yeah, absolutely.
For the next 10 years, put your fandom aside
and enjoy
watching the fact that Andrew Luck is in the NFL. That's some good
advice. Take it.
Now, I think that Jim Irsay, the owner, Chuck Pagano, I think they're looking 2 years ahead. Where, remember, after the Patriots won all those Super Bowls, they figured, let's let Tom Brady go out there without a good defense behind him and he can win us games anyway.
He did, but not championships.
Yeah. And I think that that's sort of like they've skimped on certain areas when it comes to surrounding Luck with
talent. They still haven't gotten the bona fide running back that they...
They haven't, but they haven't. They also can't shut anybody down. And correct. Their biggest liability still is their defense. Yeah.
They now, bend very, very much.
If they cultivate a game plan this week that keeps Peyton Manning on his toes with a lot of pressure, but at the same time, they have to rush four. Because if you're rushing six, seven against Manning, they have
to get to Peyton Manning with four rushes.
Yep. Absolutely. You can't outnumber the offensive line because he throws at the blitz as still as good as anybody else.
If they can't get to him with their four rushes or at least pressure him, that they don't have a shot.
Exactly.
I do believe that regardless of a little bit of their struggles with the Colts, I believe that he's a big game quarterback.
He is.
He steps up for the big games. I think he's going to have a good game. You're not going to see him go into his shell, okay? You're not going to see that happen on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But you're right. If they can't get to him with their four rushes, forget about it. Otherwise, this is a very unpredictable game right here.
Correct.
What's going on with Denver? Can Indy do it? I don't know. I don't know what teams we're going to see on Sunday.
And if we see what we've seen for the last several weeks out of Peyton Manning,
Indianapolis can very easily win this game.
At the end of the day, I'm taking all four home teams this
week. Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's definitely a home team weekend. My two locks are New England and Seattle. Those are my two locks.
Yeah, the clearly, Saturday. Yeah,
clearly from my arguments.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I got a funny feeling about Dallas, bro. I know you don't want to go down that route, but I just got a funny feeling about Dallas, and I can't wait to watch it unfold. And talk about it with you guys on Tuesday.
Excellent, man. So with that, we're going to sign off for the weekend here. We're going to watch the games. We hope you enjoy them as much as we know that we're going to.
Absolutely.
We got Oregon winning this week coming up on Monday night for the national championship game. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And find us on iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Enjoy your NFL weekend.